God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, are we ever tempted to get into God's business and tell him how to run things? Maybe you've been late for something. You're driving a bit fast. You hit a speed trap, and the lights pull you over. And maybe you actually had the guts to cast a glance heavenward and think to yourself and to God, really, God? Your timing is impeccable. But in reality, God's timing is always impeccable. There's a brother in Christ who worships with us every week who has an amazing story about impeccable timing. He would tell us that he is here this day in Muskego with us only because his father missed his ride to America by one day. Greece to Ellis Island to Muskego via Southampton, England. His actual travel date, April 11th of 1912. He was supposed to have gotten on board April 10th on the Titanic, which we know went down on the 15th of April, 1912. Brother Dan would say, I love God's timing. It's impeccable. Always a blessing for God's people. It's one of those Romans 8 things. In all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. God's timing is never late. It is never early. He always arrives on the scene exactly when he means to, with his purposes at the ready. Never was that more true than at the coming of Jesus as the world's Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Savior from sin. Never more true than then. And the Holy Spirit of God would have us ponder God's word under this thought today. The Messiah knows when to show up. And let's hear the words of Luke 3, 1 through 6. In the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan River, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. The word of our God. The 15th year of Tiberius, Pilate, Herod, Philip, Lysanias, Annas, Caiaphas, lots of names, rulers, players of the day, all connected to places on God's planet. You almost get the sense that the God who made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them wants us to know that in every moment and every place in history, history is his story. That he is aware that he is in control. The Lord of time and place, the God of time and place, the same one who laid the foundations of the earth, he tells us. The God of time and place who commanded the sun and commands it every day to run its course across the sky. The Lord is the God in time of place who once challenged his servant Job with these words. Job, do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch when the doe bears her fawn? Do you count the months till they give birth? Timing and place is everything to God, even in the small things of life. It's what makes the world work. And so the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar was impeccable timing on the part of God to introduce you and me and the world to the time and place, the person and the purpose of a man named John the Baptist, son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, a cousin of Jesus, the Son of God. God wants us to know that his plan to save us from our sin was calculated right down to every detail of Christmas, that birth in Bethlehem. Which makes me think of the words of the hymn that is giving its theme to our Advent worship, the hopes and fears of all the years. I could have introduced that earlier. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Think of the words. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Bethlehem, Christmas, a major target date in the salvation plan of our God. Just like the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius and the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist, an important date to God Almighty, because timing with him is everything. The Apostle Paul says it in a way that we know well from Galatians 4. He wrote once, "But when the set time had fully come, when things were ready, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Calculated, purposeful, timed, this Jesus. Who would have thought that Christmas in Bethlehem would be different than any other night? And who would have thought that the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius would matter to our God? Are you and I conscious of God's hand in every moment of our world? Never early, never late, always on time for the blessing of his people. The years of Tiberius was a time of spiritual darkness across the world. When John came and began to announce the coming of the Messiah, the world Savior. You and I live in a time where our world seems to have growing spiritual darkness. Yet God promises that his saving work is still happening. Nations will rise and fall, he says, yet God is building his kingdom every day, one soul at a time. The creation is biting the caretakers, you and me, through wind and rain and the quaking of the earth. Yet through all of that, it's God reminding people not to set our hopes on this life that is decaying, but to set our hopes on eternal life through the forgiveness of sins. Maybe you are familiar with a commentary of Jesus on this very thought, how God works in the darkness, the ugliness of our world. Words from Luke 13. We're told, "Now there were some present in front of Jesus, with Jesus, who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices." Jesus replied, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." In the midst of all darkness, God's focus is always on saving us from our sin. He challenges us through life's happenings to focus on our most important need, the eternal need of heaven with God through forgiveness. God is always mission critical to save you and me. That's his message to us. So the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan River, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert. The word came to John. One of the favorite hymns of God's people in our circles right now, at least, is one that goes like this. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep within us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, the hymn sings. Isn't it crazy awesome how the Word of God affects you and me and impacts our world? Wherever the Word of God touches this earth and touches hearts, change happens. That's how God works, mission critical, saving souls. Think of how God spoke in the past in history. We're told that in the beginning, God spoke into the darkness, let there be, and there was. He once spoke from a burning bush, Moses, Moses, I need to send you to Egypt, and the rest is history. And we get that favorite hymn from a young boy named Samuel who once said to the Lord, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And Samuel listened and went on to anoint kings. The Word of God always sets things into motion. And so it was at the time of John when he came to announce the first advent, the first coming of the king. God whispered into John's ear, and John went to the banks of the Jordan. In fulfillment of a prophecy, a promise of God that had been simmering in the prophets for 700 years. We read it before. I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. Now, as I understand it, from watching my wife cook and listen to her when she cooks and bakes, when something is set on the stove to simmer, good things happen. Tough, crunchy becomes tender and juicy. Flavors are blended. The palate is pleased. Put on the stove, let it simmer, and walk away for a time. So it is with the promises of our God. He often sets them on the stove of his word to simmer. Kind of walks away until the time is right to share it with his people. So John began to preach in the 15th year of Tiberius. And he preached this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. A message simmering in the words of the prophets for hundreds of years, now ready to be shared with God's people, mission critical. And the message was not about earthly blessings, health and wealth. It was about eternal blessings, the forgiveness of sins, and life after death with God. You see, sin is killing us. And God's message of forgiveness in Jesus is all that matters. And so in the 11th year of Tiberius, God said, mission critical, we roll now, we roll it out to the world. I have to be honest with you that I'm not always sure that my life is or has been mission critical. Have any of you sold a house and moved recently? When you move, you realize how much earthly junk one life can amass. My wife and I were blessed to move twice this past year, and you might say, how is that a blessing? Well, some of you actually helped us move the second time around and saw some of our earthly junk. And we said, my wife and I said, never again. There is too much earthly junk in our life, and there's too much of God's work to be doing. Now, don't misunderstand. Earthly stuff, earthly junk happens. That's okay. But ask yourself, is your life mission critical? The Apostle Peter wrote this. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. That's the hope of the hymn we sung before, or I might mention before. The hope and fears of all the years are met in Bethlehem. The hope in Jesus. Ask yourself, is your life shining with the hope of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, peace, new life to come? Can people see your life shining with that hope of Jesus? And are you poised every day just to be able to share with people the fact that God has taken spiritual junk off your hands through the death of his son, Jesus? Greed and lust and envy and guilt and shame and fear gone in the death of Jesus for us. Guaranteed in Jesus' life and resurrection to life in us. Mission critical. So John came in the 15th year of Tiberius. Now, by faith, you and I love Christmas. Waiting for the Savior from sin and to celebrate that. And by faith, you and I are looking forward to, even longing for, his second coming, the last day of all things. How are you sharing that with your world? How do you go about sharing that with our world? Well, God gave John some tips. He said this to John: prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him, fill in the valleys, level the barriers, straighten the roads, that all people may see God's salvation. How does a community prepare for an earthly dignitary? Take the President of the United States. From what I know, the protocol was pretty extensive. Barricades on all the side roads so that his or her journey into and out of the city is seamless and fluid. Whatever it takes. And uniformed police officers on every overpass. And believe it or not, every pothole filled in. How loved would you feel if your employer filled in all the potholes and completed all the road work and got rid of all the orange barrels on your commute just for you? And now think about, how do we prepare for the coming of the world's Messiah? Whatever it takes for him to have easy entrance into our hearts and a welcome fitting the Son of God and the Savior from sin. Such a welcome the Bible calls repentance, which is turning away from sin that is offensive to God and separates us from him, and in faith turning to Jesus as our Savior, that promised Messiah. That message of repentance for eternal life was the message God gave John the Baptist prior to the first coming of Jesus, and it's the same message he has given to you and me in preparation for the second coming. It is a message, God's vision for our living, our messaging, that is timeless. Sort of. Sin will always be sin that condemns us to hell. God's forgiveness in Jesus will always be free through faith in him. But a day will come when the time for repentance is over, and it will be time to face the judgment of God. So a timeless vision of God's mission critical for us to save souls through preaching the gospel. A mission that will one day come to an end. That's the how and the why that you and I live. Now is the time for us to share with our BFFs, our best friends forever, the good news of Jesus as Savior. And think about it for a moment. Do you really have a BFF if you have not shared with that best friend forever Jesus and brought Jesus into the mix? Now is the time to share with family and friends and co-workers the good news message of Jesus as the Savior from sin. That's the purpose for our living. That's the purpose for our breathing. Now, maybe you and I don't have quite the call that John the Baptist had to be the forerunner of the Savior. Or do we? Isn't Jesus the one who said this? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The gospel baton of the kingdom has been handed to us, to you and to me, to share with the world. Repent and believe the good news. Prepare your hearts for the second coming of Christ. And time is running out. Are we doing our share? 1 year ago, right about now, St. Paul's called me to be your resident missionary. And it has been a joy, and it is a joy. But I told you in one of the first sermons that in reality, there were already 2,700 resident missionaries at St. Paul's. You did not call me here so that you wouldn't have to. You called me here so that together we get to. Living and breathing and worshiping in Mosquito and the areas around, we have work to do. And today, I would ask your help in doing this work. Begin to memorize the phone number on the screen. It's my cell number. This past Thursday was my first outreach Thursday of many to come. 6:45 to 7:30, hanging out in childcare, getting to know parents. 7:30 to 9 a.m. over at Starbucks, hanging out with St. Paul's members and Starbucks employees, Maddie and Brenda. Rubbing elbows with Muskego. Just this past week, it happened to be Police Chief Renz and his pastor. 9 to 10:30, driving around Muskego, getting to know Muskego, praying over the city, asking God to show me, give me leads into people's hearts and lives. 12:45, found me at TJ's Roundabout Pub and Grill. Sprecher root beer, middle of the day, work day, Sprecher root beer, $2 tacos. And then I found the Boxhorn Gun Club and Lake Dunoon Middle School. And then from 1 until 3 was a field trip, shopping at places like Piggly Wiggly. My wife had been there. I had never been. Honey, I bought milk. I will meet shop owners. I will meet store clerks. And God will connect me to people who need to hear about Jesus. But I need your help. At least for now, most of you know this city better than I do. Take out your cell phone. Text me. Text me places I don't know, places I need to be, individuals I need to meet, places for lunch that'll connect me with the mom and pops of Muskego, not McDonald's. Because you see, Outreach Thursday is coming. It's 4 days away. Time is flying, and there is work we need to do. You see, my friends, the Messiah knows exactly when to show up. He will not be late. He will not be early. He will come at just the right time that he means to come. But he is coming back. It's why we're here. It's why we breathe. Amen. Let's pray. Great God and Lord, we come before you today with thanksgiving and praise. You are the God who has given us life eternal, the greatest gift ever, and we thank you for Christmas, and we thank you for the day that we came to faith, and we thank you for our personal salvation. But we also ask that you would help us to so cherish that every day that we would recognize that your gift to us of physical life and breath is in us for a purpose. Yes, to live and to take care of and to love the people in our lives, from spouse to children, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, friends, co-workers, all of those people. Yet you've given us that breath of life to speak for you, that your word may impact our world, the lives of individuals, and in the end, whole communities. So bless us as your resident missionaries here at St. Paul's and at the Bridge. To be alive in you, to be excited for you, and to find ways of sharing you with the world. Let us remember mission critical. It's about sin, but it's about life in Jesus, the world's Savior, who died for that sin to give us heaven. So help us to always stay focused, mission critical, each and every day. Let us not get caught up and distracted by the things of this world. Help us to learn how to navigate the things of this world, taking you along with us. So thanks for being our Savior, God. Thanks for grounding us. And now focus us on Bethlehem, that little town where the hopes and fears of all the years and of all people were met in you and in your plan that night. We pray in Christ's name, and all God's people say,